Good morning, church. Just like that, it's the final Sabbath of 2020. It seems like really not that long ago that we ran our first live stream back in March, thinking we might be doing it for a month, maybe two if we're really unlucky. And yet, here we are, 9 months later, having live streamed church for almost a year. We've actually learnt some really great things this year and heard some amazing sermons. We've been able to connect in new ways, new creative ways. But let's be real, this year wasn't easy. A couple of weeks ago, some of our young people challenged us to reflect back on this year and reflect forward about going back to church. And Jackson challenged us to reflect on how our faith journey has looked this year, how our faith has been shaped by the events of this year. Yoshi built on that a little bit further last week. So today I have titled this sermon, By Faith. As we wrap up this year that was 2020, I want to take a practical look at the faith journey. And I'm going to go no further than the story of one of my all-time favorite characters in the Bible, and that's Abraham. We are going to have a look at Abraham's call to faith and then the three tests of his faith. And through this, we will explore the journey of growing faith and personal transformation. But before I get into it has been a couple of weeks since Jackson's challenge. Have you taken the opportunity to reflect on this, on your journey this year? Have you taken the chance to reflect on your faith and where it's at? Maybe against the odds, your faith has grown this year. Maybe it's strengthened, carrying you deeper in your walk with God. Or maybe your faith feels stagnant. Maybe it feels like it's not taking you anywhere. Maybe it's a bit of both. I know for me, this year has definitely had some real moments of growth, as well as some dry patches. But what does this mean, and what do we do with this reflection moving forward? How does this journey look into this new, fresh year of 2021? So I want to dig into this incredible story of Abraham, which I believe will strengthen your hope and faith in your journey, in the journey that God has for you. But before we get stuck into it, I just want to pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for carrying us through 2020. Thank you for the challenges and the growth that we've had. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless us abundantly now as we open your word and look at this incredible story of faith and this story of growth, Father. I pray that you will open our hearts and minds as we reflect on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've split today's sermon into two segments. The first is a little bit more brief, and it will be looking at the call to faith. So, this is the moment that set Abraham on his journey. For Abraham, the beginning of faith began with one simple but direct call found in Genesis 11, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in this passage, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." This doesn't seem like an easy place to start. God doesn't ease him onto this path. What is so crazy and audacious about such a call? Was it simply the fact that by leaving, Abraham would be giving up his rights to an inheritance? Or is it the fact that he'd be leaving behind a cultural hub and everything he's really ever known? Maybe that he'd be leaving behind his family, his loved ones, apart from his wife and nephew. Maybe it's the fact that the land I will show you didn't appear on any map. God did not sit Abraham down and give him a specific location or coordinates. He did not specify the amount of time that he would travel or where and how that would look. It simply was, "Go to the land I will show you." Full stop. Literally, take it one moment at a time. A call that is dangerously open-ended. So Abraham departed as the Lord instructed. He actually did it and took God at his word. He left Haran for good, never to return. Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9 says the following. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. This was no easy decision, but sometimes to be really taking a significant step in our faith and in our journey with God requires us to be challenged out of our comfort zone. In fact, to leave something we have depended on and never return to it. Maybe like Abraham, God has been calling you this year to step out and start a deeper journey of faith. Maybe for years you've been believing from a place of comfort, from the place where your needs are securely met, your earthly inheritance is sure, your life is comfortable. But there is one problem. You don't really need God. Well, you do. But really, you feel you can manage without him. But then God calls you to leave. He calls you to depart from your Haran, your comfort zone, your place of safety. What is God calling you to leave so that your dependence on him can grow? Is it an attachment to something, to money, to your image? Is it an addiction? Is it what others think of you? Is it simply your dependence on self? God is calling you to take a leap of faith and to trust him deeper. His call may be scaring you. Maybe it's too dangerously open-ended, too unknown. The journey of faith always begins with accepting the call to stretch out your hand in faith and follow, even if everything else is on the line. And this is how it started for Abraham. So let's see how this decision to follow the call played out for him. And this brings me to the second part of this sermon where we will spend the rest of our time today. And this is the test of Abraham's faith. The first test of Abraham's faith comes pretty early on in this story. We find it in Genesis 12, verses 10, soon after he leaves Haran. And this is what the passage says. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt. So, wait a minute. I thought we had just established that Abraham had chosen to follow God moment by moment. And so we have our first big test, our first big fork in the road. Here he is in the wilderness, following God into essentially the unknown. He had taken most of his possessions, or all of his possessions, and the most precious people to him, on the road, but now he is faced with the possibility of quickly dwindling resources. He needs to provide for his family and for a vast entourage that is traveling with him. So you can see the dilemma. He has just left Haran, his place of certainty and safety, and here he is facing uncertainty. How much does he trust God? How much does he trust himself? Apparently a lot more. So he makes the only logical decision he can. He moves to a land that doesn't believe in God, an ungodly, a pagan land, to find security and food. No stopping to check with God, but it gets worse. As soon as they are about to enter Egypt, Abraham, remembering that his wife is actually very beautiful and that his life might be at risk if someone wants to take her from him and kill him, says to her, Sarah, please tell them you are my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. Okay, so this isn't just plain downright deceit. This is Abraham more willing to risk his wife being taken and hurt in order to save his own skin than being willing to put his life on the line. This is Abraham putting himself first. This is selfishness. What happened to trusting in God to bless and protect him and his wife? Surely the Lord would have protected them. But Abraham is so afraid that he completely takes control of his own safety and that of his wife. He comes down to a pagan land and devises this grand plan to ensure his family's safety, or maybe more like his own safety. But sure enough, Sarah is taken away by Pharaoh's men. It's interesting how easy it is in the journey of faith to turn our focus back onto ourselves our interests, our protection, our preservation. One minute we are on God's path, trusting, focused in on Him and His leading. And then before we know it, a series of only a few decisions may leave us sinking into the depths of Egypt, so to speak, in self-preservation, distrust, selfishness. You see, putting faith in ourselves is always a slippery slope. It distances us from God and makes us increasingly self-absorbed. But here is the beauty of God. Even though Abraham snatched the steering wheel away from God and made a complete mess of the situation, God in his mercy still rescued Sarah by sending a plague over the household of Pharaoh. He allowed Abraham to be reprimanded by Pharaoh and driven out of the land of Egypt back onto the path that God had for him. As if having learnt nothing, Abraham did repeat the same mistake years later with a different king. This sin of deceit passed along in his family to his son Isaac, who did exactly the same thing later on with his wife Rebekah, and then his son Jacob, who lied to Isaac. You see, church, this patriarchal family had serious issues with deceit and taking things into their own hands. The road of faith was a bumpy one for them. They made a lot of mistakes. A bit like you and a bit like me. They often lost sight of the promise of God. But they had a God who was greater than their shortcomings. And once God commits to blessing you, He will not back down on His promise. He will not back down on blessing and leading you in that journey of faith. He keeps pursuing us and providing more and more opportunities for us to latch onto Him, even with the tiny speck of faith that we may have. Thankfully for Abraham, God saved Sarah, put them back on the right path, and gave them a fresh start. Friends, when you take the leap of faith in your life and things get hard, it can be really tempting to take things back into your own hands. You will be so tempted to say, "Okay, God, you've had your chance to lead me. Now look where it's taken me." You will be tempted to go down to Egypt and devise a plan to save yourself, a plan that might even put others in your life at risk. But friends, the same God of Abraham is pursuing you today and ready to pick you up when you fall on your path. You may take your eyes off Him, but He is there every day, every moment, amidst your falls, inviting you to trust Him again. But you must reach out your hand and grasp His. You must choose to follow. God will not force you, but He is there every moment, inviting you into something deeper. So let's have a look now at the next test of Abraham's faith in Genesis chapter 15. So God meets Abraham in a vision and says the following to him: "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." Let me pause there quickly. God is saying to Abraham, "I am the one who will protect you and guide you. I am the one who will fulfill you and make you truly happy." But Abraham says to him, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir." This is actually quite emotionally charged. Notice that despite God's statement and promise, Abraham is completely focused on what he doesn't have. Now, that is a sure recipe for decreasing your faith. This year has been full of things that we didn't have. Maybe holidays planned for months or years. Maybe precious time with family. Maybe jobs, hobbies, all sorts of things. It hasn't been easy. And in the thick of this year, it may have been tempting to focus on what we do not have. And so we see in this passage, Abraham is so focused and consumed by what he doesn't have that he almost delivers this jab at God. "See, God, I don't even have an heir from my own body." But then the word of the Lord came to him. "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Look at the sky and count the stars, so shall your offspring be." Would you have the faith to believe this, even when your body is old and fruitless? Abraham knows that God has made a promise and he's trying to trust, but the clock is ticking and he's beginning to question the biological viability of this promise. I mean, they're not getting any younger, and there's only a limited amount of time when Sarah can possibly conceive a child. And she starts realizing this very soon as well. And she actually comes into this story in the very next verse and the next chapter. And it says here in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, "Now Sarah had not been able to bear children. She said to Abraham, 'The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her.' And Abraham agreed with Sarah's proposal." Now, this is really interesting. God has just promised Abraham a son, and in the very next chapter, there is an instant plan of action here provided by his own wife. Divine provision? Did God plant the idea in her head? I mean, God never said that the heir has to come from Sarah's body, from Sarah's womb. So maybe as long as it was Abraham's child and the end result was the same, maybe it didn't matter. And so again, Abraham is faced with a crossroads, with a test. He can either catapult his faith forward and keep waiting, believing the impossible, or he could make some of his own interventions in the situation. Unfortunately for Abraham and Sarah, they chose to take their own path. Instead of blessing, there became resentment, hurt, pain, and generations of conflict. The son of this arrangement, whose name was Ishmael, was not the chosen one. They had stuffed up badly. And that is the problem with sin, with taking our own way instead of stretching out our hand in faith. It can seem so right at the time. It promises so much. It can even be rationalized to appear in accordance with God's promises. But sin always pays with pain, loss, and hurt. This year, you may have taken a leap of faith. You may have been waiting for God to come through in your life on something. Your patience may be wearing really thin, and in fact, his promise may seem downright impossible. There may be so many options presenting themselves to you, even ones that you can rationalize as God's will. Maybe it seems that placing your faith in God's promise will just cost you too much. But the path of sin always costs infinitely more than the path of faith. Faith may hurt, it may stretch your spiritual muscles to what seems like a breaking point, but sin will destroy you. But here again is the mercy of God. He stays through on his promises and continues to invite us further into this walk with him, no matter what we get ourselves into. It's never too late to turn back from our own ways. And you see, God still miraculously blessed Abraham and Sarah with the son of the promise, Isaac, a son from their very own womb. In his incredible mercy, God even blessed Ishmael and revealed himself in incredible ways to his mother, Hagar, which is just such a beautiful story that I don't have time to go into today. But he is a God of unfathomable mercy, a God who remembers his covenant forevermore. So no matter what mess you are in today on your journey of faith, our Lord is inviting you to stretch out your hand in faith. He is the God who will not back down on his promises. So now this brings us to the final test. The last two tests have not gone so well for Abraham. Each time he has chosen to take his own path. And each time this has ended up in mess, really. But now comes something that he could have never imagined. Abraham and Sarah have had their own son Isaac. Hagar and Ishmael are off in the wilderness, and God is blessing them too. So, all in all, things are looking pretty good for Abraham until God arrives and speaks to him, saying the following in Genesis 22, verse 2. "Abraham," God called, "take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love." Okay, I think Abraham gets the point. God wants the son of the promise, not Ishmael. Suddenly, the enormity of leaving everything you've ever known, wandering through foreign lands, experiencing barrenness, waiting a lifetime for a promise to come true, Suddenly, all of this becomes completely and utterly insignificant in the face of what this man has just been asked to do. There is no burst of hysteria from Abraham, no flood of tears, complaint, pleas of mercy, or questioning. There are no words of acceptance, understanding, or agreement. Nothing. Just numbness. You know the feeling. The one when you feel like God asks just too much of you. Like what he is asking will destroy you. So, the next morning, Abraham got up early and took his son Isaac and set out for the place God had told him about. Does God really mean so much to you, Abraham? More than the son you have been waiting for and longing for all your life? Besides, didn't God say that this son of the promise whose descendants will be like the sand on the seashore? Can you imagine how many justifications Abraham could have found for not following through with this? Justifications which all would have been right, true, and honorable. Yet he goes through with it anyway. Why? Would you? Would I do it? On their way, Isaac asks Abraham a really important question. Father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine Abraham's response? Can you imagine his heart breaking? What do you say to your child? What do you say? Yet there is something in Abraham's response that shows a depth of experience with God we have not seen in his life up until now. He turns to his son and he says these incredible words in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Now this is a different man. It is no longer, let us run to Egypt. Let us take another path to make the child of the promise come true. His answer is so simple, yet so profound. It encapsulates the heart of a man who has always wanted to follow God, but has not always trusted. It shows the soul of a man who has wrestled with doubt as he slowly came to know God. It shows the faith of a man that is finally put to work. This is Abraham exercising his faith. In his breaking heart, he scrapes the bottom of the barrel of faith and pulls out this tiny mustard seed and says, God himself will provide the lamb. In the midst of this excruciating crucible, he actually, for the first time in this long journey, takes a step back and believes with his heart, mind, and soul. He grasps with all he has for something beyond him, for a promise that is so elusive in that moment. He takes God at his word. He is so sure of what he hopes for and certain of what he does not see. And his mustard seed of faith is enough. And only a few short verses later, with his precious son tied down to an altar, the knife in the air ready to come down, Abraham hears the voice of God and looks up. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his own son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Could this be the essence of faith? That simple statement. Imagine if in everything you could truly say, the Lord will provide. You know, from this point on, Abraham's journey, we see a different man. We see a man who has truly tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious, forgiving, and good. We see a man who is not afraid to trust him with all he has. We see a man who knows God. A man who, when looking for a wife for his son later on, doesn't take the easy path but follows God's plan. We see a man who realizes that his own plans are futile and trusts the provisions of the Almighty. So, friends, where are you in your faith today? Maybe you are still in the safety of Haran, comfortable in your provisions, doing what you have always done, absorbed in the safety and comfort of your home. Maybe God is calling you to take this step and follow Him into the unknown, into uncharted territories, into a land that may not be on any map. Maybe you have already taken this leap of faith, but fallen upon hard times. Maybe you are not sure that God will really provide for your needs, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Maybe you feel like taking things into your own hands. Maybe you've already gone down to Egypt. Maybe you have even put your loved ones at risk because of wanting to protect yourself. Maybe you have made a mess of everything. Friends, God is waiting with open arms, inviting you to trust Him again. The journey is still there, always waiting for you, but you must take it. But maybe God is asking you to surrender everything to Him. Maybe you know there is something that is a God in your life, something that is stopping you from experiencing true deep communion with God. Maybe God is asking you to give something up in the deepest of faith. Will you trust Him? Will you try Him? Will you put everything on the line? God wants to lead you and me on an incredible journey with Him. Today, He is putting out His hand and asking you to step out, responding to the call of deepening your faith. This journey may not be easy. It may stretch you to limits you never knew. But by grace, it is possible. But you must take that invitation. What are you holding back from Him today? Will you choose to make 2021 the year where you follow Him wherever He leads? By faith, Abraham and Sarah continued to hold on to grace and mercy through blessings, through trials, through failures, through mistakes, through challenges and fears. They failed many times. They kept stepping out though and exercising faith in the deepest way possible. And Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, all these people, including Abraham and Sarah, earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. Yes, friends, He's talking about you and me. He is talking about the gift of Christ, the greatest blessing of all time. He's saying that Hebrews chapter 11 is just the beginning of a long account, one to which God wants to add your name and my name and the list of many names of people who have chosen to take this path of faith and to hold on to His mercy and love. Wherever you are at today, respond to His invitation. Step deeper into that journey with Him and make the decision to exercise your faith no matter what the cost. I can assure you that He will not fail you. By faith, may you and I taste and see that the Lord is good. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Lord, what a year it has been. Lord, our faith has been tested. Our faith may have been stretched to the limits, but Lord, we thank You for this reminder, for this journey that You have shown us through the life of Abraham. Lord, Your call on our lives is great, and it won't always be easy, but it will be the most rewarding thing that we ever do. I pray that going into 2021, Lord, each of us may take You up on Your promises. Each of us may stretch out our arm and take Your hand in faith, believing for the impossible. Lord, I pray that You will guide and lead us and bless us in this journey with You. In Jesus' name, amen.